You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to John 14. We started last week teaching on the mind, the battle of the mind. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's a battle going on in your head. And it's what you think on, what you meditate on, what you know, what gets inside of you, and then what eventually begins to be spoken out of you. And it's important that you begin to think of the right thoughts. The world's full of voices and full of words and full of thoughts, but the right thoughts are God's thoughts. And the fool has no room in his mind or his head or mind or soul for God. We went over that scripture and talked about that. The fool has said there is no God. You know, you will never think straight until you get God in your thinking, until you start thinking with God in the picture. Any endeavor, I don't care what it is that you're trying to do or trying to accomplish or work that you're trying to get done or trip you're trying to plan, whatever, you need to put God in the equation because he is in all things. He's in all of us, amen? And without him, you're just not going to think straight. And you say, well, I thought we're just supposed to trust. Well, we do trust, no question. We trust God, but we think with him in mind. God's not against reasoning. He's not against logic. He's against reasoning and logic that discludes him. The Bible doesn't say don't reason. It says don't reason among yourselves. He also says, come, let us reason together. So reasoning is great and logic is fine when it includes God. When you take God out, you've taken out the ultimate fact of all facthood. You've taken out the ultimate truth. Are you with me? And so when you reason, you ought to reason with God. Come, let us reason together. You want to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, what does the Bible say about that? What does God say about that? That's when you make your decisions based on all the information. And if you leave this information out, you've left out the most important information. So we want to put God into our thinking and start thinking the thoughts of God. You say, well, who do you think you are thinking like God? Well, if I'm not thinking like God, who am I thinking like? If I'm not thinking holy, if I'm not thinking forgiveness, if I'm not thinking love, if I'm not thinking, you know, that God's bigger than the devil, then I'm thinking just the opposite, I guess, that I'm thinking hate, I'm thinking unforgiveness, I'm thinking bitterness, I'm thinking the devil's bigger than God. That's all a lie. I want to think like God. You say, oh, it's just blasphemous. Well, no, I'm not God, but I do forgive as Christ forgave me. Are you with me? I am an imitator of God as dear children. The Bible tells us to do that, amen? And as he is, so are we in this world. So we're just following the course of the scripture, doing what God's saying to do. When we love like he loves and talk like he talks. Found John 14? Good, hold your place there. I'll get there in a minute. I want to talk about this morning worry. Everybody say worry. Worry. Worry deals with the thoughts, thought life. Worry deals with the future. Worry is just, in fact, we talked a little bit about this in class this morning out of Matthew the 6th chapter. Worry is an activity like sitting in a wheel in a rocking chair. It's a lot going on, but you're not getting anywhere. Worry is when you're thinking about something that hasn't happened yet, and truth be known, probably will not happen. Most of the things you worry about never do happen. Yeah. Are you out there? So worry is a debt you pay, really, on a loan you don't owe. You'll have to think about that one, I know, because that may just, you know, you're paying for something that really is never going to come to fruition, is never going to happen, most of the cases in the natural. And if you're believing and trusting God, you don't have to worry about anything. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Worry concerns the future. It always concerns the prospect of a negative outcome or a negative future, pain or suffering or shame or ruin or failure or defeat. You cannot worry unless you're thinking negatively. It is impossible to worry if you're thinking positively. Are you out there? Okay. So you've got to have faith in the negative. In order to worry, you have to trust in the bad news that you're hearing. You must believe it's going to be bad. You must develop your negatives. You're living in a dark room when you're worrying, and you're developing your negatives. Well, quit developing your get out of the dark room, get in the light, expose all that film, and ruin all those negatives. Accentuate the positive instead of the negative. Since worry has everything to do with the thought life, all you have to do is quit thinking the wrong thoughts, start thinking the right thoughts. It's not deep. It's not complicated. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. Think about this. I'm not saying don't think anything. You can't do that. Your mind's going to keep going. But what you have to do is replace bad thoughts with good thoughts, or negative thinking with positive thinking. And that positive thinking is God's word, what God says. God has not forsaken us. He has not left us. Thank God. Aren't you glad you're not alone? So you need to, you got a leak in the dam, you need to plug it. You got a hole here that needs to be filled. So we got to be proactive when it comes to worry. We've got to start saying what God says, believing what God says, thinking what God says, and then fill that vacuum and fill that hole. Because you're not, you see, there's no way you have vacancy up here. I know you've met people you think are vacant up there. But you can't live your life with just not thinking at all. You have to think. And what God compels us to do is to renew our minds. That's what, you know, Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So you and I want to renew our mind. Take out those bad thoughts. You can't help thinking. You have to think. You can't control the fact that you think, but you can control what you think on. That makes sense? I'm going to think. Oh, wow, I just had another thought. I mean, we think all day long. I can't really control the fact that I think. And really, I can't control, stay with me, all the thoughts that come in my head. But I can decide whether to think on them or to reject them. Let's see, I'll say it another way. I can't control all of my thoughts, but I can control what I think on. All my thoughts, I don't think on all my thoughts. Some thoughts just come like that and they're gone like that. Thoughts come from everywhere. Thoughts don't always come from you. Thoughts come from the devil. They come from circumstances. They come from TV commercials. They come from political advertisements. Are you with me? They come from everywhere. But now, what you think on, that's your choice. You choose what you think on. So what God's trying to give us is some good choices. Amen? He's trying to tell us what we need to think on, what we don't need to think on. You've got to fill that hole. You've got to plug that leak. See, what we're leaking out here is joy. What's leaking out of us is peace. What's leaking out of us is confidence for the future, courage for the future, because of worry. Worry robs us. Worry paralyzes us. With Shakespeare, it says, our doubts are traitors that make us lose what we oft might win by fearing to attempt. When worry comes, fear comes, and we shut down and we don't attempt anything. We draw ourselves into the house. We unplug the phone lines. We get in bed and we pull the cover over our head and hope all the bad people go away. Are you out there? Somebody knocks on the door, you won't answer. The phone rings and you won't pick it up. I mean, you draw away. It paralyzes you. It keeps you from going forward. It keeps you from accomplishing great things for God and fulfilling the promises of God in your life. So what you got to do is root that out and replace it with God's word. You know, I think as you get older, sometimes it's not necessarily about getting new information. We're not like a desert and we're trying to plant a desert. We're like a forest and we got to uproot some trees. Are you out there? Because we got some things in us that just we've picked up over the years that are killing us, really. Some ways of thinking, ways of talking. And so we got to go in there and we got to tear out some forest and some trees and then plant some good stuff. It's a lot about unlearning some things, not just learning new things. It's about replacing some things. Hello? Pulling that stuff out of that, and there's a hole. Now we got to fill that hole. Amen. We've been talking this way. We got to start talking that way. Hallelujah. But you can do it. That's the good news. Amen? Don't let doubt and worry and unbelief and just fear and fretfulness and anxiety drain your peace and your joy and your future. Hallelujah. You and I have a future and a hope. Amen? Now, John 14, y'all found it? See, I gave you plenty of time to get there. John 14, verse 1, notice what it says. Jesus speaking, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Everybody say, let not.
Let not.
Okay, now think about it, let not. This is Jesus speaking. He believed that whether you were troubled or not, your heart was troubled or not, was your choice. He did not believe that you were a victim of what was going on in your life. Now, I know we can get sucker punched. I know crisis happens, and I know you cut us, we bleed. I understand that. And we've all hurt, and we've all had tragedy, and no one likes that. But we heal. We get over it. Amen? But whether we're going to live a life of worry or whether we're going to live a life of trouble is our choice. And we can choose not to. We can choose to be happy. Be like Phil Robertson, you know, happy, happy, happy. We can choose to be that way. And what Jesus is saying is, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't let it be troubled. You say, well, I'm just troubled. Well, don't let it be troubled. Well, I'm just down. Well, don't be down. You say, what are you talking about, man? I'm just telling you the way it is. Well, what you got to do is decide to get up. You know, I've heard it said this way, I'm either up or I'm getting up. You can stay down as long as you want, or you can just get up off that ground. Start believing God and trusting God. Hallelujah. And it takes, you know, it's baby steps at first. You know, you didn't get in overnight. So you're not necessarily going to get out overnight, but you can start on the road, and you can start progressing, and you can start getting better. Hallelujah. You can start talking more positive, quoting more scripture. Woo! Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, that's good preaching. Don't hang up now. I'll just be the audience and the preacher. I'll just amen myself here. But it's an effort. It's a discipline. It's a habit. See, you make your habits, and then your habits make you. You get into a habit of responding certain ways when things happen. You get into a habit of saying certain things when certain things happen. What you got to do is turn it around. You know, I used to cuss like a sailor. I don't know, reflection on sailors, but it's a politically correct world. They'll make me change that term to something else. Boy, I want to change the Redskins' name. I'm still upset about that. But I used to cuss like a sailor. I'm just going to say it. Before I got saved. And I got saved at an early age. I was 19 when I turned my life over to Jesus. I come out of drugs and jails and a wild lifestyle and didn't have an education. I was kicked out of high school. I would have graduated. They didn't let me stay. They kicked me out. And it was because I was in the wrong crowd. No, I was the crowd. I'm just, y'all track with me here. But anyway, I got saved. And I realized that after I got saved, I'm sitting in the living room. I'm listening to some of my albums, you know. I'm dating myself now. I'm listening to some of my vinyl albums. Well, they're retro now. They're classic now, so you have no idea. It might have been last week. But anyway, I'm listening to these albums, and they're all about drugs and sex and everything. And I'm reading my Bible. You know, I'm thinking, man, this doesn't make sense. Why am I listening to this music? So I pile all my music up, you know, and I thought, I got to get rid of this music. I got to get some new music. I can't be listening to this, you know, over and over. So I found one of my buddies that was still lost, and I sold him the records. So I just got saved. I didn't know. Come on now, give me a break. I just got saved. I didn't know I should have thrown them away. But I got through that, and I noticed, you know, something would happen, or I'd kick my toe or something, and I'd cuss, you know. I thought, oh, man, that's... And it didn't sound right. You know, something happened to me. I'm saved now. And so that just didn't sound right. It took me a while now. It took me a few weeks to make some major changes. That's why we had to be patient with people. You don't know where people came from.
That's right.
I mean, I came out of that life, and I didn't know any other life. I didn't know any other way to talk. Didn't know anything else to listen to. I mean, I wasn't raised to stay with me in church. When I was real little, we went to church some. But my daddy had a rough life. He was an alcoholic and got sobered up, thank God. He was sober for years. In fact, by the time Brenda and I got married, he'd gotten sober. I have the distinction, I'll say this over and over, my parents being married to each other 3 times. They divorced each other twice, and they married each other 3 times. I'm going to frame all 3 of those marriage certificates. I'm going to do that. I think it's so unique. And they stayed together the rest of their life, you know, and just loved each other. But my dad had such a, you know, he fought his demons and got over that, hallelujah. But I noticed even in my language, I had to work on it. I had to discipline myself because I was in the habit of talking a certain way. I was just in the habit of saying that. Now listen, if you cuss, you know why you cuss? Because you choose to. Because that's just the way I talk. Well, you can change your talk. You're not going to go to hell for it, but you know, it's not a real good witness. When you're telling somebody about Jesus and you're cussing every other word, it doesn't really play real well. Are you out there? A lot of things I don't do them because I need to quit those to go to heaven. No, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. A lot of things I don't do because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to keep someone from coming to Jesus. That's really what it boils down to. So I train myself. You know, when I'd stump my toe, I'd say, thank you, Jesus, or oh, glory to God, or hallelujah. And it took a while, you know. But that's now I won't, you can't beat me enough to cuss. I just won't do it. My habit is now to say something, you know, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I've trained myself, though, see, to not quite stop cussing and start saying something religious and spiritual. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline. It's nothing real super spiritual. It's just, it's a discipline. And it's so much better when your kids are standing beside you, your grandkids are standing beside you. Are you with me? It's so much better when you're on a work day with the church. Huh? You're not doing that anymore. You're not talking that way anymore. So being a worry wart is a discipline. It's a habit that you need to break. You have to break it, and it takes a while to do it. You catch yourself doing it. You stop yourself. And you say, no, the Bible says this. I am not going to worry about that. Praise God. He said, he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The young lions who lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. He delights in my prosperity. Hallelujah. And he daily loads me with his benefits and the blessing of the Lord, and makes me rich, and he has no sorrow with it. When you hear, you know, gas going $5 a gallon or whatever else they're saying, you know, don't let worry get in. Amen. Don't start talking that. Start talking God's word. Now notice the way Jesus said this. He said, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now the key to not being troubled, the key to not worrying, is to believe God. Woo, new concept, huh? You believe in God, believe also in me. If you will trust God, you'll stop your worrying. In fact, I can tell you every single thing I've ever worried about was something I wasn't trusting God about. It was something I was not believing God to take care of. I wasn't talking the right talk. Hello. Yeah. And so the doubt began to come in and take over. I began to develop my negatives. See, it's almost like you're offered a smorgasbord in life, if that be a word, or a cornucopia of thoughts, a plethora. Okay, I'll stop. I'm waxing eloquent here, I'm getting rather verbose. But anyway, you have all these offers on a menu, okay? And you can take these images, these pictures, these words that are on this menu, and you can make substance out of them. You can turn them into reality just by placing an order. And you place an order by just confessing or saying what it is when the waiter or waitress turns up. I want this. Hello. I want that. Now, before that, it was just on the page. It was just an offer. It was just a thought. But when you begin to voice it and you begin to say it, you put substance to the symbol. Are you with me? And then magically, just it's amazing, in a few moments, somebody comes out with a plate, with the very thing that you saw a picture of. And that which was, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, and we ate every bit of it. Are you with me? The word on the menu became flesh because we voiced it. Just like Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. That's how Jesus came into the world. That's how our Savior was born. That's really how things happen in your life. You begin to put substance to things when you begin to say them and voice them and talk about them. A lot of bad things that happened to us didn't just come our way. We went their way. We drew them to us by us. We walked toward them by our continually talking about them. We said every time vacation comes around, we get sick, the kids get sick, everybody gets the flu, get the swine flu, the Asian flu, or some kind of flu. And lo and behold, sure enough, vacation comes around, everybody's got the flu. And then we go tell everybody. We're proud of it, too. We tell everybody. It says, hey, you know, I told you. Didn't I tell you? I told you it's going to happen. Didn't I tell you that? I mean, we were believing it. We were trusting it. We've got our faith in it. Why don't we quit saying that stuff? Why don't we do like Jesus said here and start believing in God, hallelujah, and quit being troubled, quit being worried? Our responsibility is to not let our heart be troubled. The way we do that is to trust God. Now, you cannot do both. You cannot worry and trust God. You have to do one or the other. There's no room for both. So if we're trusting God, we're not going to worry. Hey, you know what? I'm not worried about going to heaven. Anybody worried about going to heaven? I'm really not, because I'm trusting God. I know I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, a long time ago. And you know what? I have got my faith in him, my trust in him, and I don't trust myself. I don't trust anybody for that. I trust him for that. Hallelujah. and he saved me, and I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Heaven is my home. It's not just my destination. I've got a reservation. I don't just have a ticket. I got a right to be there. Hallelujah. He reserved me a right. He made me a place when he died on that cross and rose again. Amen. I'm not worried about that because I'm trusting God concerning that. Now, I might worry about a lot of other things, but those are things I'm not trusting God about. Woo, hallelujah. Man, this better preaching. Y'all are amening. Worry starts, and just like faith does, with words, things you hear, things people say. Worry doesn't deal with what's happening. Worry deals with what's going to happen, what we think is going to happen. Amen. You know, we think this is going to be the end of the world. This is going to ruin my life. You know, you go through a tragedy, and the lie is that you're going to have to feel this way the rest of your life. You go through a loss or a crisis. Someone you love goes on to be with the Lord, and the emptiness, the shell of a person you feel like at that moment, those days during the funeral and afterwards, you know, you think that the grief and the pain was going to be there forever and ever, and you think, my God, I can't live like this. I can't live like this. I can't live like this. But the lie is that that pain's going to be there forever. The lie is that you won't improve, that you won't get better. That's the lie. You can always have a tinge of pain and think of the person and have a little bit of the loss come again, but you do heal, hallelujah. God does comfort us. God does strengthen us, and God does get us back on our feet again. And don't you buy the lie that whatever happened to you is going to make you miserable the rest of your life. Listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and he strengthens us, and he comforts us, and he helps us, and we heal. We're not the world. We're Christians. We're believers. We have someone to call on. Amen? We're alive, and we do get through situations. Amen? We get over them. We don't grieve as others that have no hope. We may grieve, but we have hope. We don't pick up a spirit of grief. Are you with me? We get over the grief. We get over the pain. Woo! Are you out there? And see, it's all in your head. You've got to get that out of your head that you're never going to get over this. You are. You will. You'll rise again. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and he rises again. Just get back up. Don't y'all ever watch John Wayne movies? What was that? Was it the train robber movie where he told one of those guys he fell off his horse? He said, you're going to spend the rest of your life falling off a horse and getting back up, so get back on that horse and ride. You know, something like that. It's so true, though. You're going to spend your whole life getting knocked off horses, but get back up on that horse. Don't you stay down. Are you with me? Well, you get to where you don't get knocked down near as much either. I mean, you only get sucker punched when you're not paying attention, you're not believing, you're not standing as you should. You know, you get side swiped or sucker punched. But, hey, recover. Come on, let's recover. Let's quit being victims. Let's be victors. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Woo. Man, this is good preaching. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to Acts 15, 24. One verse we'll look at there and then go to some others. But worry, as I said, comes from words, things we've heard. Faith comes from words, things we've heard too. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want a faith, if you want to believe, excuse me, if you want to get in faith, then cultivate an atmosphere of faith. Get around God's word. Hear God's word. Listen to what God has to say. Read your Bible. Get in church. Listen to sermons. Are you with me? Go to conventions and conferences and cultivate faith and fill that hole that's robbing that peace and that joy and that strength from you and that victory and that success from you, that hole that is just leaking out, that hole of doubt and unbelief and worry. Fill that hole with God's word. And quit listening to all that other stuff. You know, sometimes you need to turn the news off. If you, I don't care if it's Fox News, which is the only one I only watch Fox News. I like it fair and balanced, personally, you know. You want to know the truth. But I can't watch it 24 hours. Are you kidding? I'd just be a basket case. First of all, I'd be loading up a gun, want to go shoot somebody, you know. After a while, you just give up all hope for the country. I mean, when you think about all the bad things going on, and that's no reflection on Fox News. I'm just saying there's so many things going on in our country, and there's always something going on. It's always been that way. Are you with me? But if you don't get in the Word and you're just watching the news all the time, I mean, you just get mad. You got to double up on your blood pressure medicine. You got to go to marriage counseling because you're snapping at your wife and your husband. I mean, just, you know, it's just no good. You got to learn to just, okay, catch the news, turn it off. Are you with me? Put on a Christian chant. Put on Christian music. Put on Christian teaching. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah. Y'all out there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm aware of what's going on. I think you ought to watch the news, keep up on the Antichrist and see, you know, when he's coming to power. Get ready to be taken out of here, because when Antichrist comes, I'll tell you, if he starts, if we see anything come together like that, the church is fixing to go out of here. I'm of the persuasion from the scripture that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. I'm going out on the first load. If you want to tribulate, you tribulate. I'm going up. Hallelujah. Acts 15, found it? Acts 15, they got together. They had this council of disciples because, the Gentiles started getting saved, and they really didn't know how to handle that. Everybody was Jews. All the disciples were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And now all of a sudden, there's people getting saved that are not Jews. They're Gentiles. Peter has it happen in Samaria, you know, Samaritans, and then Paul comes along. Wow, Paul starts preaching the Jews, and so they got together. And they said, "Man, this we got to talk about this, see if this is okay or not." You know, in the 15th chapter, 24th verse says, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words." That's interesting because they had a letter they wanted to Paul and Silas and different ones to carry to these different churches to let them know that they could be saved. Because some of these Gentiles got, the Corinthians and Galatians had gotten saved. And then some of these Jews that had accepted Jesus said, "No, you've got to become a Jew." And so there was this contention and there was worry that began to creep into the Gentile churches that maybe they were second rate. They were B, you know, they were B Christians and Jewish Christians were A Christians. And it was a prejudice really in the early church is what it was. And so Paul said, "No way. Jesus died for everybody. And we're all A-rate. We're all A-rate Christians." See, there's no color in God. Are you with me? And there's no class in God. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so they wrote this letter to send out because they had heard words that troubled them. I think that's significant. Acts 15, 24. "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised, keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Now think about that. The context of that was they'd heard things that brought them doubt and unbelief. They'd heard things that brought them worry. They had heard things that troubled them. Words can trouble you. So you ought to be cautious the kind of words you're listening to. Amen? "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." So you need to be listening to words that promote God's provision and God's love for you and God's concern for you and God's promises in your life. If you don't do that, you're going to lean over toward worry, because if you hear the wrong words will trouble you. Y'all out there? I know it's kindergarten stuff, but we do this to ourselves. We listen to the wrong thing over and over and over and over, and then we try to believe, and we're having a hard time believing. Well, of course we're having a hard time believing. All we're hearing is doubt and unbelief all day long. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to find out what God has to say. "Blessed is the man," Psalm says. "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But notice the decision he's making. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight's in the law of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Woo, I preach myself happy. I feel a preach coming on. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Words. Words. What are you thinking on, see? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging around, as it were? I tell you, you need to get around God's folks. You need to hear what God has to say. You're going to find out you can make it. You're going to find out that you really you got it a whole lot better than you think you do. You're going to find out that your future is so bright you got to wear shades. That God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you and for me. Praise God. What are you doing down? Even in the hottest summer that Texas ever had, that's as hot as it's ever going to get for you. You're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. You know, Renee Garner came up and did a ladies' meeting. She said she was down in Corpus one year and one summer, and it was just so hot. It was just burning up, just miserable, you know. And it does get hot down in Corpus. I've actually worked down that area before. But she said it was just so hot, and And she said she got to thinking about how miserable it was, and she realized, she said, you know what, this is as hot as it's ever going to get for me. She said, I'm going to heaven. She said, I started to bake a cake, call all my friends, and say, come on over. This is my thank God I'm not going to hell birthday party. I mean, wrong thoughts, you know. You get to think negatively about the heat. Well, think positively about that's the last heat you're going to feel. Amen. Turn it around. Hallelujah. Start trusting God. Start thinking about what God has done in your life. Instead of what you don't have, think about what you do have. You got the greatest gift that has ever been bestowed upon mankind, the gift of eternal life. You got help whenever you need it. You got a God who loves you and for you, who's not just your God, but he's your daddy, who's your father, who's just waiting on you to call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, healed, and set free. Ask and you receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door be open unto you. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, Jesus said, believe you receive them and you will have them. He said, all things that you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Oh, come on. Yeah. We got reason to rejoice. Amen. Amen. Now, those words lift. In fact, just me saying those things and quoting those scriptures lift you. They lift you. Words have that power. If you listen to God's word, oh my goodness, it'll put you on top. Get you up on your feet. Hallelujah. But you have got to sit under the sound of it. You got to listen to it. Sometimes you got to force yourself. Sometimes you don't feel like it. I mean, when I'm upset and I'm mad and I'm determined to be mad, I'm determined to not do the right thing. And Brenda starts quoting scripture to me. That's the last thing I want to hear. But it's the very thing I need to hear. And when she starts bringing my sermons back to me, that's not even fair, honey. That's not fair. She'll look at me and she said, do you know what you just preached last week? I'm going, don't you do that. Don't do that. Don't do that to me. But I know it's right. I know it's what I need to hear. Are you with me? I may be upset, but I'll tell you what, I need to hear some good news. I need to hear the word of God. I need to hear what God said. I need to hear the promises of God. That's what's going to bring me out. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, I've just been transparent with y'all, so, you know, just, you know, you don't look at me like you've never been there, okay? Hey, a couple more verses. Second Thessalonians, notice what it says there. This is interesting, Second Thessalonians. These are totally different scenarios, but it's still the same basic principle. The first scenario I was talking about were the Gentiles here and they had to become Jews, which was a lie. They didn't have to become Jews. They just had to believe on Jesus. But those words troubled them. You know, sometimes we hear words that trouble us. In this case, in Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, they had heard... Some of the people had said the rapture had already taken place. People had already gone to heaven, and they got left out. They were left behind. That's actually what had happened, if you read the context of that. That somebody had told them that, oh, it's already over. Jesus already came, and people already went to heaven, and you got left. Here you are. You're stuck. Bad news. And they were, of course, Gentiles. And Paul wrote to them, and he wrote in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the second verse, he said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word or by letter from us as from us that the day of Christ is at hand, that it's already happened. He's trying to tell him, he says, Jesus hadn't come back yet. Don't be troubled about that. Now, you've heard that he has, but he hadn't. And you've gotten letters that say that, but don't listen to those letters and don't pay attention to those words. Words trouble us, don't they? Words about the future trouble us. I'm telling you, I talked about the news. You hear about, you know, what they're saying is going to happen in this country. I don't believe half of that. I really don't believe half of it. Probably none of it's going to come to pass. I do know this, that God's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of you if you trust him. That, you know, there's people that have it 100 times worse than the United States ever had, and they're still alive.
Amen.
There's not just piles of bodies all over the world. People dying in all these countries, you know, because they don't have what we have. We've got so much more. We're still the greatest nation in the world. Thank God for the United States of America. And there's still hope for this country. We can still pray. We can still believe God. The Bible says that God, the heart of a king's in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it like a river every way he wants. If we'll pray, God will turn things around. The real power's not in the White House. The real power's in your house and my house, on our knees, praying in Jesus' name. When the church believes and the church prays, things turn around. Woo!
Amen.
I'm sorry to give you all that good news. Maybe that's just too much good news in one sermon. I don't know. Maybe you wanted bad news. You came to the wrong church. We don't have any bad news here. We preach the good news. We preach hope and healing and deliverance. You know, whatever you've been in or gone through, there's hope for you. That's what we preach. You say, well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, join the club. We've all done things, and none of us have stones to throw. But I got good news for you. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Come on out. Jesus will take you. We'll take you. If you want to turn your life around, there's hope for you. And you can get back on your feet again. Don't be troubled by words. Don't be troubled by letters. Don't be troubled by what other people say about you. Don't be troubled by statistics. Don't be troubled by the experts in the world. I'll tell you who the expert is. His name is Jesus. Woo! Are you out there? Okay, Philippians, let's close this out. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop in 5 minutes. I may go 20 or 30. But I'm kidding. We'll close it out pretty quick. You know, we got to beat the Baptist to Brookshire's, you know. Last couple of Sundays, I went to Brookshire's, and I think I saw half the church in there. I'd walk in and somebody, hey, long time no see. Philippians, this is awesome. Boy, I love this, Philippians. It's talking about the thought life. You know, often I share this even at funerals, and it's really appropriate. You know, I think at funerals there ought to be three things that you do. You ought to talk first about the person and eulogize them and bring out good memories and things, stories that you've heard and told and so on and so forth. And Margaret's father-in-law just passed away. We just did that funeral recently. Well, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, you know, he served our country, too. He was buried in the Veterans Cemetery over the other side of Dallas, over that way. And, you know, thank God for his service to our country. Praise God. To be buried among those honored dead. I mean, that's just awesome. My dad was a military man, 20 years in the military. He was in Korea, he was in Japan. He was, well, Japan, then he was in Vietnam. He actually retired the year he got back from Vietnam. They were going to send him back again, and he already put 20 years in. He said, you know what, I think I'm going to retire. And he did. Got a Bronze Star, got a Medal of Certificate, Medal of Merit. I got all those things, you know, when he passed away. I'm going to do a little shadow box with some of that in there. I got his dog tags. I got the Bronze Star and, you know, some of those things. Thank God for this country. Amen. Thank God for people that serve this country. But as I said before, at funerals, I think there's three things you need to always do. I've always felt this way, is that talk about the person as best you can from stories that you've heard. If you don't know them, and if you do know them, tell them. Tell the good things, the good memories. And then talk about how to be saved. That's got to be the most important thing. And comfort the family, those three things. If you don't comfort the family and you don't talk about how to be saved, are you with me? You've wasted a perfect opportunity. At funerals, you got people that don't go to church go to funerals. You got people that just don't know the first thing about God in church go to funerals. And so it's just a perfect opportunity to tell somebody about, hey, we're facing reality here. This is what we're looking at here, this casket, this is going to happen to all of us. This is undeniable. Whatever you believe, whatever you think, every one of us is going to die. Are you ready for that moment? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? You know, it's a time to tell about the Lord. But then to comfort the family, to give them some hope. Because they're hurting. No matter what you think or I think, it hurts when you lose somebody. Amen? And no matter who they are and what they've been through. So I often will quote these verses about thinking on good things. It's not the time to think about what you should have said. It's not the time to think about what you could have done. That time's over. It's over. They're gone. They've gone to heaven, hopefully. Hallelujah. And if they've gone to heaven, you're going to see them again. When you think about someone that's passed away, your loved one, or maybe it's your mother or your father, or it might even be, God forbid, a child, you know, which is a terrible thing. But think of the good memories. Think of the gift they were. I mean, they're gone. You'll see them again. You can't change this. This is not something you can change. Are you out there? No confession, no faith's going to change this. This is already done. They've gone on. They're with the Lord. Are you with me? Now, let's go forward. Let's go forward, and let's thank God for every good memory. Let's hang on to that. Don't hang on to the loss. Hang on to the gain. Hang on to the pluses, not the minuses. Amen? And so that's what Paul says here in general about everything, but it applies also, of course, at a funeral. You know, I think about Walt. Walt. I'm not crying because I'm sad. Walt was such a good guy. I know you're thinking, man up, come on, finish the message. I'm trying. Stay with me. Walt was such a good guy. He was such an encourager. Many of y'all remember Walt. He was husband and, of course, Cheryl's dad. And he was just such a great guy. And I think about him. I just always remember him encouraging everybody. And he never quit. I just ruined that. Here I am talking about being happy. I am happy, and he is in heaven. He's rejoicing. Praise God. I'm going to see him again. You're going to see Walt again. Y'all going to see him again. You're going to see Daddy again. Hallelujah. But I thank God for him. I think he influenced my life. A lot of other people influenced my life. You have. All of you have. We're a product of everybody, all of our friends and all of our relatives, and that's good. That's a good thing. My daddy's gone on to be with the Lord, you know. I picked up some good traits from my dad. I overcame some bad ones. Are you with me? But, you know, he knows Jesus. He's in heaven, so I thank God for that. I don't weep over that. I mean, if I just meditated on thought about it, you know, yeah, you could get sad. Anybody can get sad. But you ought to be thinking about the good things, the things they left in your life. We are better. We are better people for having known our loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. We are better. I'm a better man because of Walt. I'm a better man. I'm going to stop crying in Jesus' name. Philippians 4 chapter, 6 verse. And I'm not sad. That's not it. I'm just touched by the influence. I'm touched by how God's been good to us. And you got a gift. You got a gift. In everybody's life, you got a gift. Thank God for it. Thank God for the good memories. Amen. He says, be careful, fretful, anxious, worried for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You ought to always thank God when you pray Him, because if you believe God, you will thank Him. Amen? And, notice this, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Your minds. Everybody say minds. You want your mind full of peace? Well, live a life of praying about everything. Live a life of thanking God, you know, when you pray. Amen? Going to God about everything. Don't just make it the second thing you do, the third thing you do, but live your life running to God when something goes wrong or when you make a decision. Be quick to pray. Be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts through and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, everybody say finally. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about your loss. Don't think about your pain. Don't think about all the bad things that can happen. Don't think about your life being over. Think about good things. Think about the blessings of God in your life. Think about how God can turn this thing around. Hallelujah. How this test can become a testimony. How this mess can become a message. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about how God can make a miracle happen out of this. Praise God. Woo, this is going to be a tale to tell when this is over with. Because when God pulls me out of this, and I am going to have something to say. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's just awesome when you think about it. And you got to turn your thinking around. Quit thinking about the pain. Start thinking about the provision of God. Start thinking about the promises of God. Hey, quit thinking about the loss maybe of a loved one. We've all had lost loved ones. We've all done that. We've all lost friends, relatives. We're all human. We all have similar experiences. You cut us, we bleed. We hurt. But what you need to think about is what a blessing they were. Yeah. Think about some good things, good memories. Laugh, tell jokes, talk about them. And just know this, you're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Amen. See, stop worrying. That's what we're saying. Quit worrying about everything and quit letting doubt control your life. Let's live a life of faith like the Scripture says on our banner here in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight.